Hey Charles, thank you so much for jumping on Backend Series with me. It's always a pleasure. And each time we have a conversation, I just catch up on things. How's it been with you?
Yes, be on the back end today to see you, Gerald.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate All right, so let's dive right into it, right? My very first question always is just tell us about you, right? So for the average person who doesn't know who Charles Dyer is, right? In a very brief word, who would you say Charles is?
Charles is someone that has always had an interest and I would say passion for anything that has to do with computers, like right from in primary school. I've just been fascinated with computers and anything regarding to that. I didn't have any form of confusion when I was to pick a course in the university. I knew I was doing computer science, computer
Oh,
engineering. Yeah, like it was very, very clear to me. I had other things that I was pursuing that I liked. Like I was thinking one day that maybe I would become a pilot, but the one that was clearest to me was just computers. I find it magical, right? What you can do with a computer. So immediately after school, I started a website design business called Seagate Digital. I'm
In
still running
Lagos,
it.
did you school in Lagos?
Yeah, I schooled in Ridimas University in Ogun State, but very, very close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So immediately after school, I just started doing website design business. I mean, it was just like a freelance gig side also for me till I got a job. But I mean, it ended up working out well. Built the team, worked with quite a number of really good clients, and the business is still running till today. But right now, I'm more
Wow.
focused on building a SaaS business called BizUp, which is a software that
Yes.
helps businesses with documentation and process management. But yeah, that's basically what.
Okay. So before we. Okay. Okay. I thought you were going to talk about BizUp, right? So I wanted you to provide context, right? I didn't want you to just dive right into BizUp, right? So,
Okay.
yes, I know you're currently running BizUp mainstream, right?
Yes.
So, can you first tell me what problem is BizUp currently solving, right? And how did you transition? Because I know you've done a couple of things in the past. We'll
Yeah.
get right into that as well, right? So how did you transition into BizUp?
Okay.
And what problem are you solving?
Yeah, so BizUp solves the problem of training consistency in businesses, like training and consistency. So as a business owner, when you start if you, when you start business as a freelancer or as a one-man business solo founder, you tend to do a lot of things yourself. But the moment you decide that you want to hire more people, you need to train them, because if you don't train them, the quality of work is going to suffer. You want to build a business where nobody knows whether it's the founder that is doing the work or some new employee that they hired. And you also want a situation whereby, because the moment you also start hiring people, there's the problem of keeping them. And people don't stay forever, people come and go, right? So you still want that level of consistency in your business, even when people leave, right? So it BizUp is a solution that helps you easily document what you do and how you do it in a way that is enjoyable for new and existing team members to follow step by step, in a way that somewhat guarantees that they are going to achieve the same results that you are achieving, just like as if you are the one that did the job, right? So it helps with process documentation, helps with progress tracking. You want to know where are we on this particular process that we are doing. It helps with consistency in the form of like checklists. Everything is broken down into step by step, in a step by step format that people can easily follow. So it really helps businesses delegate with confidence, stop repeating themselves, train people faster, scale the business more effortlessly. That's really what those are the problems that BizUp helps businesses to solve.
Awesome. So how did you get into BizUp? What
Yeah,
was the background story?
yeah. So with the company I started, Seagate Digital, as an agency, As a service business, you know that most service businesses start with the skill of the founder, right? And then service businesses are notorious in the sense that they are very difficult to replicate or to scale, right? So we needed a way to achieve that. Like, how do I, because when I started hiring people, I realized that it wasn't reducing my workload. So time I was supposed to spend focusing on growth and things like that, I was spending it managing people like, no, this is not how we do it. No, this is the way it's supposed to be done and stuff like that. So I needed a solution to that problem. I needed a way to make sure that even as I'm adding more people, my work is getting easier. And when people leave, work will just scatter, right? So I'd been dealing with this issue for a very long time, didn't think of a solution other than just documenting on like Google Docs or Microsoft Word, but people don't like reading manuals, right? So many times people don't follow them. And there's no way to track that they are actually even following the work unless they then make a mistake and then you realize when it's too late. So I have a friend, her name is Marianne. She's a process consultant. She had been solving this problem for a lot of small businesses in the space of like over like seven, I think about close about 10 years now, as she has been helping businesses systemize their operations, help ensure that they have structure, processes, policies in place. But she has been doing it very manually, right? So for every business, it's like custom work that she's doing for each one of them. So she came up with the idea of making it a software. And since we were friends, she reached out to me. Initially, she even wanted it to be a project that she would pay me for. But later, when she came back to discuss it again, I realized I myself am solving this problem. I know that a lot of...
You're having that issue, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of other businesses are also having this problem. Let's work together to bring this to life, right? I have a background in design. I have a background in an experience in product management and project management. I'd worked with engineers and designers, so I knew how to bring stuff to life. I'd even done a number of products myself, so it seemed like a good fit, and that's how this all started.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I mean, it was born out of your own personal challenges, or you adapted the idea out of your own personal challenges as well, right? So what's the adoption been like? And how long have you been in the market for?
We launched around July 2021. When we initially launched, the acceptance was really interesting. Like it was better than I had hoped. So we did a really nice video to talk about the problem that we're trying to solve. It sort of went viral on Twitter. Within a couple of days, it had like 15,000 views across other platforms like LinkedIn and all of that. It sort of caught fire. Like a lot of people just connected with the problem we were trying to solve. That was good and bad. Good in the sense that a lot of people realized that, okay, there was a solution called BizUp. Bad in the sense that many of the people that saw it were not our target audience, right? So we had a flood of sign-ups that were people just trying to test the platform to see how it works and all of that, which till today hurts our numbers, because when we look at sign-up to conversion ratio, it's like, why do we have this number of people that are not using the software? But of course, it's also understandable, right? So when we launched, we also realized that the people that we were positioning this up for, in terms of the market and the stage of their business, were not the ideal customer profile for the software. Sorry, my dog is noisy. Realized that those people were not the ideal audience for BizUp. What I mean is that we realized after a couple of months, after trying to speak with a lot of these people that signed up, we realized that you don't really have process problems when you don't have a team, right? We had initially assumed that, even if you are a one-man business, you might want to start documenting your processes. If you're a team of like 3, 4, 5 people, you want to document stuff. But we realized that that's not actually the reality. It's businesses that have, say, 15, 20, 50, 100, 200 employees that really have the pain of consistency and service delivery and stuff like that, right? So it was a learning period for us. In fact, a very long time after we launched was just speaking with different businesses, trying to understand if we were building the right thing, if we were building a vitamin or a painkiller. So yeah, it was. I mean, but right now we're doing pretty okay in terms of like numbers. We have some businesses that are already using BizHub across different industries. We have some really big businesses that are interested in using BizHub, and we're working with them to build something that is going to work for them, that's going to give them really good value.
Awesome. Nice work. Yeah, so I want to take a step back, right, and just reminisce on some of the things you've done, because we've had previous conversations in the past, right? I know at the point there was Haircuts. I know there's CK Digital. It's right there on your Twitter header. You know, you have a lot of startups there, and you know. So, where are those startups today, right? Are they all currently still existing? You know, or are you doing them concurrently, or have you paused some? You know, so where are you on a lot of those ideas that you had going for you?
Yeah, so interestingly, I got into like product as a way to learn, right? I had been running a service business for a very long time. I wanted to get into product. I didn't want to get a job as a product manager because I had something I was doing. So I figured that the best way and easiest way for me to learn is actually to build products, right? Or to build different ideas. So first one is one that's called Ajizi. Ajizi was an idea that one of my friends came up with as a sort of marketplace for entertainment talent, right? Like actors, voiceover artists, and stuff like that. It didn't work. We can always dig deeper into that. Another one was Colibate. It was like GoFundMe, but for educational financing. Like you want to get your school fees and stuff like that. That also didn't work. Business model wasn't very clear. There was a problem determining, is it a charity or is it actually, is this supposed to be a profit-making business? I started an appointment booking solution called Rezervo, which was my own first solo product. The other ones were working with other people's ideas.
Partnerships, collaboration.
Yes, exactly. Rezervo did okay, but sort of quickly realized that we launched the Nigerian market. Appointment booking is not such a very big thing for brick and mortar businesses. So it's not like an online, like we're not competing with like Calendly. It's supposed to be like a brick and mortar businesses and all of that. But we sort of quickly realized that the market isn't the ideal market, right? And to push it, it would require significant effort and funding, which we didn't have. So, I mean, it's still running, but it's just on the side. It's just laying low. Some people are using it. We may shut it down if it starts demanding more time than value that it's providing.
Yeah.
Because of Rezervo, as a way to test if the problem was the product itself or the idea, I then started a barbershop called Haircut. And a 100% appointment based barbershop to just see. Just to see if Nigerians would actually book appointments for them. And it worked, right? People were booking appointments and it was fine. But the barbershop itself is not giving the kind of money I want, right? So I decided to just shut down. And I did a project that I didn't even really think of. My wife and I built a tool called Question Wave. She's an engineer, so I did design and product management. She did the engineering work. We built a tool, Question Wave, that just handles Q&A sessions at events. And that one is working. Like, people just use it. It's completely free. We've not monetized it
yet. Wow.
But it has serious traction. Like, people just go in there, create question links, share it with their audience. People ask questions or vote. And it's doing very, very well.
Wow.
Then BizUp, which is what we've discussed, is something that I'm 100% like, well, I won't say 100% because they're still the agency, but that's where majority of my focus is right now.
Yeah. Okay, so I hear a lot of, I had to stop this and I had to move on. I had to stop this and I had to move on, right? And it brings me to the question, right? At what point do you, because I know a lot of people struggle with this a lot. I mean, it seems very natural for you to just stop something and move to the next thing, no time, right? But it's not easy in reality, especially when you've vested your time, you've vested your emotions, you know. Yeah. So how do you make that decision? And at what point do you make that decision? Say, look, this thing is not working, right? Move to the next thing. Yeah.
Yeah, Gerald, I mean, I may sound like I'm used to it, but I'm not. That point when you're working on something that when you realize that you just need to be honest with yourself, this thing is not working, right? There's that point where there's sadness because you've devoted a part of your life to it. It was something, especially when you bring something from scratch, something that didn't exist at all, you make it happen, right? And maybe you're seeing a little bit of traction, because that's when it's most difficult. If you are not getting any traction at all, there's no demand whatsoever, it's very easy to say, okay, you know what, this thing is not working, there's no
problem. Yeah.
There's a little bit of traction. Maybe people use it today, maybe someone shares good feedback tomorrow. Like haircut, we had people that were very, very disappointed when we decided to shut down, right? But
wow.
What I've learned is you just need to be honest with yourself, right? When I look at it, I'm like, okay, is it a time problem? Because I think I'm a patient person. I've been running CK Digital for over 11 years now, and running a web design business is not easy.
Wow.
Running a creative business is not easy. So it's not about impatience, but it's about just looking at things objectively, as difficult as that is, to say, will time solve this problem? If yes, I'll be patient, right? But if it's a fundamental problem where it's the market, right? Or it is funding or resources that you need and you don't have it, and you know that without the resources, it cannot work, then there's no point, right? You might decide, okay, you know what, I'm just going to shut it down for now and bring it up later. But of course, most times you don't bring it back, right?
Yeah.
You might move on to something else. So it's never easy. I shut down Haircut last year. Reservo, as I'm speaking to you right now, I might shut it down, right? So that, I mean, another interesting thing is that doing these different things made me learn a lot of stuff, but it also takes my attention a lot, right? So the more I do, the less I have to focus on things that are actually working or the things that I still believe in. So yeah, that's kind of like it, but it's never easy. It's never easy.
I can imagine, right? So while you were building all these products, right? But there are two angles to it. Building a product is one thing, and then building a business,
mm-hmm.
having human beings, having mm-hmm. people, a team, mm-hmm. right? So I'm curious, what were some of the challenges you faced while building a company? Not a product now, but building an actual business.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The moment you want to turn a product into a business, then one of the biggest things is monetization, right? How do you ensure that this product is making enough money, like such that it gives you a signal that there's actually something there, right? So for instance, yeah. Question Wave that I said my wife and I built is a product, it's not a business, right? It works, but until we monetize it, it's not a business. CK Digital, the agency, is a full business right now because it works. It just works. We have customers. We have a team that is handling a lot of things, and things are working. So the challenges are primarily around one is monetization. Second is managing people, mm-hmm. right? Like the moment you start hiring people, you start realizing that business is not as easy as you think, right? The moment you have one team member, two team members, three team members, you want to ensure that they are in sync, right? That everything is working. They're working to achieve the mission of the company. You also want to ensure that they are actually happy. Because the moment you hire someone, you are sort of, in a way, responsible for them, right? Some of them are depending on you for their family's livelihood, at least at that time, right? So there's additional pressure on you to make sure that this thing works. If you really care about them, right? You want to ensure that this thing is actually working, that these guys that have taken, some of them take a bet to work with you, right? You want to also prove to them that you did not make a mistake, right? So managing people and growing the business at the same time in a way that also keeps customers happy, those three things are some of the biggest challenges. And of course, they are also the biggest areas for growth in the business, but they are also some of the biggest challenges in running an actual business.
So how do you find the team? Because I remember there was a period you were looking for a CTO for the longest time ever. I think you published an article. I haven't read it, but I saw it. You wrote something about like a guide on how to find a team or find a CTO, something related to that, right?
So
you build a lot of products, and for most of these products, you've been able to put together a team. So how do you convince people, especially when you're not offering a very juicy or fat salary remuneration, you know, because it's very early stage, obviously. So the assumption is that you've not raised enough to be able to poach people or to be able to even attract the right talent. So how do you put together a team of people who know what they are doing?
Okay, so I've sort of approached it in different ways. Like I mentioned, iCheesy, the job marketplace for entertainment, Olivate, the crowdfunding platform. Those ones, I joined an existing team. They were a very small team. They didn't even have employees. It was just like a co-founder relationship, right? So in that case, it was relatively easy, right? And it was easy in the sense that I running CK Digital, I ran it for years as a solo founder. As a solo founder, you are primarily responsible for everything versus... Yes. When you join a team where you have a smaller scope of focus. So in those cases, I didn't have to bother about getting a team, and the businesses were still very small. We're not even hiring people actively. In the case of like Reservo, I actually used my money to hire contractors to work on the MVP. I wanted to see the idea come to life. I didn't want it to be delayed by... I don't have a CTO or I don't have an engineering team and all of that, right? So I paid contractors. I handled some parts of the project that I was very comfortable with. In the case of BizUp, we sort of started in a similar way. We wanted to launch which is what I put in the article, we wanted to bring the idea to life. I had experience in design and product management. I had worked with people in the past. My co-founder, Marianne, was more of like an operations and business person, right? But we didn't have an engineer in the team. So what we did was just to bring it to life, we hired a team of contractors, people that I had actually worked with in the past. We got one product designer and two engineers. And then when we launched our MVP, we then realized that for this business to work, we need a technical co-founder. We need someone that is thinking long-term about the technology side of things, not just about getting one task done. We wanted like a missionary, not a mercenary at that particular point, right? So that's why we started looking for a technical co-founder. And in the article, I explained how that worked. Like, I tried different approaches. I tried different founder matching platforms, even the YC founder matching platform. I reached out on Twitter. I posted about that we're looking for a technical co-founder. You and I had a conversation. I posted on different WhatsApp groups that I had. I was very shameless about the search. And one day I was just, I stumbled on a particular SaaS company in the US. When I look at companies, I check their team pages. I just bet for myself that there's usually a Nigerian there. So I did the same thing that day, and I realized there was actually a Nigerian on that team. I checked him out on LinkedIn. I saw that he was a full stack engineer. He had over 8 years of experience and all of that. I liked his vibe generally. So I just reached out to him, and that's how the conversation started, up until the point where he agreed to become a co-owner of BizUp. Zero salary, full equity. And it's been one of the best things that has happened to BizUp as a company.
So that right there is an art, right? How do you convince people beyond all reasonable doubt at very early stage to jump on what you're doing, right? So what are you saying? What are you telling them? How are you convincing them?
Okay, I think one of the biggest advantages we had in this case was the fact that we had actually built something. It wasn't an idea at that point, right? So I think I've seen a lot of people have that challenge. Someone has a day job, they are making money, they know what their time is worth, and you come to them with an idea, and your idea is not even fully formed. There are lots of holes in your idea and all of that. But nobody can resist something that they can play around with, that they can actually, like the hope that ended up becoming our co-founder, he went to the product and tried it out himself. He realized that, okay, this awesome. Is very basic at this point, but it works, right? He probably saw some of the reviews we were getting on social media and all of that. Like, there's actually something there. We had not gone far at all. It was like as basic can be. But the little thing that we did, we put a lot of effort into, like, the quality of the design, the quality of the user experience, everything. So he saw that, okay, these guys are serious, right? So I think that's one. Number two is that I was able to also help him see the big picture of what we are trying to build. I won't give myself credit for convincing him. I don't think I did that. I think it was about just showing him, and like, I wasn't trying to sell him. It was more like, this is what we've done. This is the problem we are hoping to solve. The problem might change over time. In the next 5 years, we'll be solving a different problem, but I feel like we are onto something in terms of there's this. Businesses are facing problems in terms of managing their day-to-day operations. We can build a solution that solves that problem. And we want someone that is going to work with us long term, not someone that is just looking to make a quick buck. I mean, there's someone that we reached out to that all he cared about is he wanted to get into YC. So that was
I hope you don't see this video.
No, I mean, I'm not mentioning this video. That was the biggest, it was a red flag, because it just seemed like if we don't get into YC, this guy is going to dump us, right? So things like that, we wanted someone that could build with us long term. So it wasn't just about convincing someone, but we're also doing our own due diligence, just vet that this is actually someone we also want to work with long term.
Yeah. Charles, I've built 3 startups in my small life, and you know, after the last one got acquired 2 years ago, that's 2021. And after that acquisition, you know, with all the, I was burnt out. I was like, damn, like, I just need to rest. I had tons of ideas. You know, as a builder, you always get ideas. I had tons of ideas. But I had to tell myself, man, let me rest. Let me take a break. You know, so how do you keep going? I mean, you build one because you're spending money, you're spending time, you're spending, like, so how do you keep up with that energy? You build one, move to the next one, move to the next. So how do you stay motivated to keep doing all these things?
To be very simplistic about it, I would say it's my calling. Like, I enjoy it. I enjoy the process of bringing an idea and then taking something from an idea and launching it into the world, right? Like, creating something that did not exist. That's one. Number two, I'm grateful that I have a business, because it's not easy, especially when you need to spend money. I'm grateful that I have a business that I've been running that could support that lifestyle, right? Because it takes money. And I'm also grateful for, like, I have a wife that is understands. I cannot imagine what my life would have been like if I was married to someone that just saw me as a madman for trying out ideas, right? So I get a lot of support from my wife. But other than that, I actually just enjoy it. It's tough. I mean, I don't need to tell you. You know how tough it is. It's really
I know, tough. I know.
But
just truth is ghetto.
Yeah, just seeing it come alive, seeing people use the software. I mean, when people are using it, there's just this sense of accomplishment that gives me, that I just, it's my own high, and I don't have a social life, right? So I think that's how I'm able to balance a lot of things. I'm indoor most of the time. I do most of my stuff, even before COVID, most of the things.
Oh, wow. That's actually interesting, because you have a pretty good following, right? So one would think that you're always all over the place and you're engaging.
So just on Twitter, I'm loud.
Okay. So, but I'm sure you've had a allow me to use the word a near-death experience, something that dealt you a massive blow that you were close to quitting.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So what, if you don't mind sharing, what was the experience like and how did you get back on your feet?
I don't think it's one. I think even I'm so used to it right now that I'm kind of numb to the effect of I can tell you for free, like running an agency, especially a web design agency, we don't have accounts per se, in the sense where, oh, you have this big client that is paying you X dollars or X million naira every month. Running a web design agency taught me perseverance, taught me to not be scared of be scared of just the fact that you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So what I mean is, when you're a web design business, you don't know how much you're going to make next month. That's why I was very, very attracted to the SaaS side of things, where people are paying a subscription. At least you can project your growth and stuff like that. But knowing that you just need to trust the process that, okay, you have a solid portfolio, you have a marketing channel in place, customers are going to come, all things being equal, right? So it really helped me such that even when there is uncertainty, I'm still calm about it.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of things, like Question Wave that I was talking about just a couple of days ago, we didn't pay enough attention, and all of our data got wiped out. All of our data,
right?
Which means all the questions and everything that people had created were just 100% wiped out. We could not recover them. We were very lucky in the sense that right from day one, we just opened it up. People don't even need to create an account to generate a question link. Like, you just go in there, generate your question link, and start using it. So it wasn't like people lost access to their accounts because they were
there. Yeah, or their history.
You get, there was nothing like that, right? But for us as a product, the data, the traction, I cannot tell someone how there's no proof anymore to say, hey, we had X thousand of people that have generated links and stuff like that. We don't have that, but it is what it is. Like, if there's no way to solve the problem, you just move on, right? So we fixed the problem and we checked, people are still coming to the product, they are still using it, right? We've learned from that lesson that we need to be a lot more serious about our infrastructure, our backup system, and all of that. But it is what it is. I mean, it's something some things just happened that you could have avoided. There are some that you could not have avoided. You just learn from it and move on, right? So, I mean, I have battle scars from different products that I've tried to build, like the extreme adventure of trying to run a brick and mortar business of a barbershop. Like, I don't think I'll ever try that again. But yeah, I've learned so much.
My God. Okay, so in all of these things you've done over the years, what has been the most rewarding part of everything for you?
I would say, I don't know if it has been the one particular product or one particular business, but I would say, especially from like CK Digital, the agency, is the impact I've actually been able to have in the lives of people. Like, people that have, first our employees or team members. We hired a number of people that came in as like interns, and they're doing amazing stuff today as a direct result of working at CK Digital. Our culture is so good that a lot of people leave CK Digital and they come back to just say thank you for how you treated us, right? Some people that have like baggage from where they were working before, when they come to CK Digital, it's like night and day difference, right? That impact I've been able to have in the lives of people, like seeing direct growth, even whether they're experienced or not experienced. You don't work at CK Digital for 1 year and you don't grow. It's impossible. So that's one. Impact in the lives of customers. Like Bizop, we have a customer that she says that at her company, they call her Madam Bizop. she says, like, she told me that, like, you call her, like, she said, the way she explained it, like, BizUp has sort of saved her business, right? Everything is documented, things that she used to repeat, she had to keep repeating herself over and over again on, no longer an issue, things about consistency, just that peace of mind to know that your business has a good foundation. It's not dependent on one person's feelings. Like, if someone leaves today, you're going to treat them well, but if someone leaves and somebody else comes, it's very easy to get them up to speed. Like, hearing stuff like that keeps me going. Seeing the impact of whatever I'm doing, whether it's I build a website for an e-commerce company and they are crushing it with their revenue, or we do SEO for a client and they are getting a lot of leads, or we just build a tool and people are using it to organize their Q&A sessions at events and they are using it. Like, those little things really keep me going. And I'm even happy that you asked this question, because thinking about it makes me happy again, because I've not thought about it in a long while. Like, yeah, I think it's one of those things that keep me going.
Awesome. All right. So I'm curious. Right, you've gotten to where you are at this point, and I'm sure you are grateful for all the experiences that you gained over the years while building all these various startups, right? But again, there's always something in the background somewhere that if you think deeply, you realize that it prepared you for this time, right? So while growing up, right? While growing up and, you know, living with your parents and all, what do you think was responsible, or what in your childhood had prepared you for all the things you're going through right now?
I think that's a really good question. And as you were asking, I sort of flashback to a couple of things. I think my mom played a major part, not I think, I know my mom played a major part in how my entrepreneurial side blossomed, right? Like, my mom is a hustler. Like, she's a hustler.
Uh-huh.
She has done different things. She there was a time she was okay. She was not, money was not a problem, right? But she was selling snacks to schools in the area. Like, right now that I'm speaking to you, my mom has like a poultry. She has like this dog business that she's doing as well. She had like a big supermarket that she was running on a daily basis. Like, she's always doing something. So I think over time I sort of internalized that. Like, there are different ways. Like, I don't know how to be idle. You get like not doing anything. I don't know how to do it. And I owe that to her, because it has been very helpful. I remember, like, while I was in secondary school, I started my first business at home. I was selling noodles to my brothers. Right, I would buy a carton of noodles at wholesale price, obviously, then sell it to my, because we used to eat noodles a lot at home, and I'll sell it to my brothers.
Like, instead of them going out to go and buy it, just buy it. Wow.
So, like, just remembering it, but I think it has always been a part of me right from time. But I didn't grow up thinking I would go into business. You know, I thought I was just going to, after school, get a really good job, and that would be it. I was going to be a career person, but, I mean, here we see it.
Awesome. So I have two more questions, right, before we wrap up this session. And before I ask the last one, which is, you know, you might want to start thinking about it. If you were to sit down with a group of emerging founders, right, what would be your advice to them, right? But before you jump right into that, if you had the opportunity to go back in time and redo something that you feel was a mistake, or you could do something differently, what would it be?
I would say, I don't know, I might give myself that advice. I don't know if I would have taken it, but I would say maybe spend more time building relationships with people. Like, I've like right from time I was an like an introvert, like very shy, very indoorsy and all of that. I sort of, because I started doing business, the communication side of things, I have to improve it, like, because I have to pitch, I have to talk to clients, potential clients and all of that. I sort of learned that as a result of not wanting to my business to die, right? But I'm still the kind of person that I mind my business like 100% of the time, right? So I feel like if I had a slightly different personality, or if I had been a bit more, I think I can still work on it. But I don't know if I really want to, because I enjoy my life right now. But I feel like
there are space.
I feel like the opportunities I've missed or I'm missing because I'm not really out there talking with people, building connections. Because I mean, business is connections, life is connections, right? You need people, you need relationships to help you. There are things that I have achieved that I feel like I would have achieved a lot faster if I just knew someone that could help out with something, right? But I'm also very much aware of the advantages that I have because of my current personality, right? Yeah. So it's a bit of, that's why I'm not sure I would have taken that advice even if I had given myself.
Okay. So your advice to emerging founders?
My advice for emerging founders is don't underestimate how tough it is. Don't look at the life of other people that are, like, you see them on Twitter, maybe LinkedIn, and you just assume that they have it easy. Like,
it's cool to be a founder. It's cool.
Yeah. Like, even like some of the biggest news we see are about founders is when they raise money. But the process of raising money is tough. It is really, really tough, especially if you don't already have connections and all of that. It's very, very tough. There's a very large percentage of people that are unable to raise money, which doesn't have anything to do with their idea. Doesn't have anything to do with about their ability to execute. That's just the way it is, right? So it's tough. I would say make as much money, focus on making money, right? So whether that is, especially if you are in Africa or in Nigeria, focus on making money. It's a lot easier when you have money. Whether that's from your job or from your startup itself, like try to monetize from day one. I've done a lot of toys. Like if I want to do a new product right now, there's no toy. It has to make money. I have to see that there's a problem that it's solving, and that problem is valuable enough for someone to pay real money for, right? So don't compare yourself to other people. Know that it's going to be hard. Focus on revenue as early as possible. Even revenue will make it easier for you to raise money, right? When you don't need investors, that's when they are rushing you, right? That would be my advice. I hope it's helpful.
Yeah, sure. I mean, now that you just mentioned this, and that's actually the idea behind Backend Series, right? Because a lot of people underestimate the work that's actually required or that is needed to actually become a success, right? So, I mean, people see founders, people see fundraisers, and it sounds cool. But then you're not seeing what's going on, the blood, sweat, the tears, the grinding. Yeah. People don't see all those things, right? And that's why I always encourage my friends that are founders, you know, I mean, just come share your stories. Let people see things from the other side as well, right? It's not enough to do the fundraising announcements, you know, come and tell people how hard the things you had to go through, the nightmares, everything, like let them hear it so that there's a balance. And then if you eventually do decide to go into founding a company or a product, after you've heard of all these things, then you're better informed to make that decision, you know? Exactly. Yeah, so thank you so much for jumping on this. It's really appreciated. Do enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure, Gerald. Thanks for having me.